This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Battle for Malaysia on BFM 89.9.
It may be the day after GE14, but we're still battling for Malaysia right here on BFM 89.9. I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Kutan as we talk about the what happens next, right? The morning after the battle. And we're looking specifically at the state of Sabah. We have on the line with us Erna Mayuni, columnist and sub-editor at the Malay Mail, who herself is a Sabahan. But before that, I just let you know that we're awaiting a press conference by caretaker Prime Minister Dato' Sri Najib Razak. He is expected to give a press conference at 11 a.m. at the World Trade Center. However, I'm looking at the latest report saying that reporters are still waiting for his arrival. So once we have a conclusive note that the press conference is going to start, we will cut straight to that to bring you the latest on that front. But for now, Erna Mayuni, to tell us a little bit more about Sabah. Good morning, Erna. The state of Sabah really is one of the most fascinating ones to watch this morning, simply because there's really no clear state government to be formed. Now, could you help us understand, from your perspective, how are you viewing where Sabah stands currently?
Who seem to have lost Erna for a moment.
We will come back to her. Yes.
Now, very important note that there are several games in which Sabah is an important player. One is the state game, and we know that the longevity of the political movement, that is Warisan, it depends on them capturing the state. I mean, this is often said about new formations. It would be said of Bersatu, for instance. There's also the federal game, right? So we know that Sabah sends 25 seats to the federal parliament. You want to include Labuan in that just because of the geographical proximity to Sabah. You might want to do that. That would make it 26. But whatever it is, it's a substantial number of seats that go to the federal parliament and are going to be important in the stability of the next government being formed at the federal level.
Right.
So we know that Pakatan Harapan has already crossed the threshold to form a simple majority. Warisan, because they are allies coming into that, would in fact strengthen Pakatan Harapan at the federal level.
So do you think that this, Sharad, means that we are going to be looking at, going into the future as Sabah wrangles has discussions on who will end up on which side? I think it's fascinating simply because Sabah used to be known as the Barisan National Fixed Deposit. Nothing is certain anymore as the negotiations will commence, I'm sure.
Yeah. You know, because we have Erna back on the line, and perhaps we could begin with Erna. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Sabah is one of three states where there's no clear winner yet. What do you understand is going on in Sabah in terms of negotiations to form a viable coalition government there in Sabah?
Well, things are pretty dicey right now because it's an exact tie. And of all people, you have Sabah's long-time wild card being the kingmaker, which is kind of a hilarious situation for everyone involved.
And you're referring to Jeffrey Kitigan of Star. Is that the person you're referring to? Could you explain to us where his political sympathies are, what he would bring to the table? We know that kingmaker situations often are about the demands of a minority voice, and what would those demands be?
Okay, the problem with Jeffrey is he has always been unpredictable. Okay, because you have to understand that even though he won with a very small minority against his brother, in the context of Sabah politics, he pulled off a miracle. Because this is not the first time he's run against Pyrene. And Pyrene is the Kadazan Dusun, basically spiritual leader. You know, he's basically the equivalent of Pastor Nick Aziz to Kelantan.
He's the Hogan Siau.
Yeah. So really a big deal that Jeffrey, I think this is probably the third time he's tried to run against his brother and he's lost every single time but this.
Now, apart from Jeffrey and the possibility that he will help tip either side into forming a government, what about the possibility of defections from one side to the other? And does the federal game mean something to that dynamic? The fact that there might be a Pakatan Harapan at the federal level, will that affect how either side in this contest in Sabah views the relative benefits of going one way or the other?
Okay. Well, in this particular context, it's the main reason why the opposition has struggled for the last two elections to make inroads in Sabah was because of the perception of PKR and the likes as outsider parties. Right. And yes, and the thing about Sabah politics is there's the complexity of the many different communities, and also it's not so much a split between the communities as it is the two biggest blocks, which is the Muslim Bumiputras and non-Muslim Bumiputras. And that's why campaigning can be really dicey.
Right.
So you're always...
Erna, so I'm just wondering, have you had a chance to chat to your friends and family in Sabah? How are they viewing the political wrangling there? Or is this par for course when it comes to politics in Sabah?
Oh, well, Sabah, let's just say pretty much everyone I've talked to are just as surprised as I am. Because Warisan, in contrast to... the opposition campaigning in West Malaysia has been seen as rather low-key. Even though there were big names stumping for the party, there wasn't the feeling on the ground that Warisan was really going all out. But then, the reason behind that might perhaps be because Warisan doesn't actually need to. Because even though the party is new, the people inside it aren't. Mm. You know, you have Daryl Liking of Penampang, and of course Shafie. Shafie pretty much carried the Sabah election results, because if there's one thing that Sabah voters love, it's a homeboy giving a middle finger to the federal government.
Okay. Very graphic there. Thank you so much, Erna. But can we just look at possible scenarios at the state level? What do you think are the two possible scenarios that are important, that are likely?
Okay, the likelihood is, it would be Jeffrey choosing either one. And the thing is, because of the current sentiment in Sabah, where it seems that people are angry enough at the end to... try to push them out. So it's slightly more favored towards the Warisan bloc.
Okay, so that's scenario one. What about the second scenario? What would you say would be the other likely scenario?
Okay, the other scenario would be a slightly tricky one, because it would likely piss a lot of people off. Because it's an unlikely scenario. But from what I hear, it's UMNO is trying to get Warisan on the same side. So basically, it will suddenly flip the entire side over to Warisan, and that's very unlikely. But I can't discount that as a possibility, because Sabah's reputation for last minute switching over to Warisan is like, sorry, guys, Pera has nothing on us.
Okay, but what about the possibility of, instead of an en bloc move for Warisan to join and perhaps a unity state government, if you like, what about the possibility of defections, that people, whatever the inducements are, whether it's political positions, whatever, that one side or the other will use that going forward?
Okay, right now, when it comes to defections, likely Shafie has a slight edge. Because... because in the last 1994 election, when three PBS assemblymen switched over to Barisan.
Erna, I'm so sorry to have to interrupt you, but I'm just getting word that Najib is at PwC starting his press conference. So we have to come back to you, yeah? Thank you so much for your insights. That was Erna Maini, columnist and sub-editor at Malay Mail.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.